in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Oh Lord and my Father, I thank you for this time that you have given me. Lord, to submit myself. Lord, I am not worthy to stand in this pulpit. You are only worthy. Whatever you have given, you have spoken to me, Lord and my Father, help me to speak. Let it, Father, let it be beneficial and let it change the hearts, O Lord. Lord and my Father, I submit myself unto you as a very unworthy servant who holds this message, but you are making me worthy. Father, I give you glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for the church, especially for the choir. Today we had a good session. You know, the old songs when we sing again and again, it's really taking you to a different level. And thank you for the selection of songs, and thank you for the leading. Thank you. Today we will be looking into the holy temple, the habitation of God, the Trinity God, the habitation of the Trinity God. If you put it in another way, how the Trinity God makes a habitation of God and makes it holy. The temple has, when you look at the temple has got two things. One is the foundation and the other one is the superstructure. So let us read from Matthew chapter 7, 24. Therefore, whosoever hear these sayings of mine and do them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And 25, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. This is about the foundation that is having, and how the superstructure is built, and when all the tests came, that did not fall. But in 26, we read that everyone that hear these sayings of mine and do them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Here Jesus is telling this after a long session, chapter 5, chapter 6, all very, very tough comparisons between. Basically, he was talking from the beginning till the end. If you see all the three chapters, you will see that he was comparing what is righteousness of man and what is righteousness of God, how different it is. Now, he compares at the end that there are two houses being made. One is made upon the rock, the other one was upon the sand. By the same thing, you will understand when the test comes, the one which is on the rock will definitely stand. Do you have doubt? Do you have a doubt? I don't think so that you have a doubt. But if it is based on the sand, the house itself doesn't have any structure because it is based on the sand and it will be washed away. So then, in relation to this, Jesus gives an example in just two or three verses before, that is in the 22nd verse. A man has made a house and seems to be all set to get the price. He has made his house and he is all set to get the price. And when he goes there, the verse 22 says, those people were just standing before God, before the judgment throne, and they were saying that, Lord, I have prophesied, I have cast out devils, and I have done many wonderful works. Do you not accept me? And the answer was so pathetic. The answer is, God says, I do not know you. Can you just imagine about an answer like that when we are standing before the throne? One day we are all. Only if we are in Christ, we don't need to be in the judgment throne because of his righteousness. Now, otherwise we will be definitely facing, and we will be saying the same words. I have done, I have gone to Friday early, I have been there, I have raised my hands and I have sung songs, everything that we will say. But we will say, and when you get an answer like this, that I never knew you. Very, very pathetic. Very pathetic that we should not have that. We should not have that. So, here, why just look at those verses from 21 to 23. You will see, he says, you work iniquity. Iniquity. What is the iniquity which is mentioned there in that same passage? In the same passage from 21 to 22, 23, in the 21 first verse, he that do the will of my Father which is in heaven, so he shall enter into the kingdom of God. So in the kingdom of God, if you need to enter, you need to do the will of God. Will of God. Now we always hear, ultimate thing is doing the will of God. Ultimate thing. There is nothing nothing beyond that. Ultimate is knowing his heart and doing his will. Abiding to his will. From where you get from the word, from the messages, from by the Holy Spirit, from the church, whatever. You get all those, and if you are not able to do his will, then you will hear this pathetic words from God. So it's very, very serious. Let us all stand up. Suppose if we are standing before the throne, and if we are going to hear this, how do you feel? Just spend two minutes. If you can connect with the Lord, doing the whole thing, many things for God. That is all God said, I did not know you. Father, let it be not on us, O Lord. Father, this time you have given in this world, help us to do your will. And Father, to do your will alone. Father, help us. You have given us the Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, Holy Spirit, you talk to us that we will not be in the judgment throne. Lord and my Father, we submit unto you. We put all faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. So it's very, very difficult that before the judgment throne that we should hear this. Now, the example is also given that the house was built on the sand. That is the same thing that happened when this person stood before the judgment throne and when God said, I don't know you. When that words came, it was like the same, when the floods came, the building was washed away. So it is the same example Jesus is mentioning there. Now, let us look into the foundation. Let us read, we are looking into the temple. As a temple, we will look into the foundation, we will look into the pillars, we will look into the stones, and above all, the habitation of God. So, the time that we have, I have to finish. God give me the grace. Yeah. So here, the foundation, when we read Ephesians chapter 2:19, so then You are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with saints and members of the household of God. The 20th verse, built on a foundation of apostles, prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone. We see that the foundation is mentioned over there, apostles, prophets, and Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone. And 21st verse, the whole structure is with the foundation and the superstructure. The superstructure is upon the pillars. And in the pillars, there are so many stones which is being kept and made it into a structure. What for? To make it to a holy temple. What is the purpose of this holy temple? The purpose of the holy temple is to offer living sacrifices unto God. So we will look into that, how we are offering as the living sacrifice unto God, we will see that who is doing that, the beautiful building that God wants us to build. We will see that building towards the end. So let us read 1 Peter 2:5. You yourself, like living stones, are being built as a spiritual house. This is the same thing which we said. We are talking about the temple, which is a spiritual house, to be holy, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Then we will look into what is the cornerstone. What is the cornerstone? Cornerstone, when you read Isaiah, it is brought from 28:16. Isaiah 28:16. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am placing a foundation stone in Jerusalem. A firm means sure, tested stone. It is precious. It is a precious cornerstone that is safe to build on. Whoever believes need never be shaken. So we see that it is sure. That means a firm. The second one is tested. The third one is precious. So we will look into this. First, we will look into the foundation. Foundation, we have seen that three. One is firm, tested, and precious. Yes. Then, what is a sure foundation? What is a sure foundation? You know, in Hebrews chapter 9:13 says, if the blood of bulls and goats, sanctify and purify, if it is used, for the blood of bulls and goats are used for the purification and cleaning of the flesh. 14th verse, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself, how? Without spot to God, to purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So you see that how much you see the blood of Christ, the life that Jesus gave for us, the blood of Christ through the eternal spirit offered without spot to God. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Because God's standard is so high, very high, that only Jesus Christ could do that without spot to God. Now God has made it so easy that when we believe in him, when we trust upon him, the same righteousness that he had secured, the same righteousness is put upon us. Why? Because you trust him. What happens when you trust him? You When you trust him, he becomes your Lord, not your master. He's much above that. He's your Lord. And I have mentioned this when during the time of Caesar, they asked only two questions. Two questions. One is, who is your Lord? If it is Caesar, he will live. If it is Christ, he will be murdered. So that is Lord. That is Lord. Now, how much the blood of Christ through the eternal spirit. So then, in the 15th verse, and for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament by means of death. By means of death. Now, he is the mediator. You see, there are so many mediators in other churches like Catholic and Jacobite. I come from Jacobite background. So we see a lot of other mediators. But here it says that we are between God and man, there is only one mediator who is the mediator of the New Testament by means of death. He has given the life. No one has given the life. Law has not given the life. Only Christ gave the life. So why it is a sure foundation? Why it is a firm foundation? God himself gave his life. That is the sure foundation. That is why Jesus is Lord. That is the only reason Jesus is Lord. He is the mediator of the New Testament by the death. And 16th verse, for where a testament is, mean to say that if you need a testament, there must also be the necessity of the death of the testator. Now, Paul is talking about in the normal case, you know, if you write a will, the will is not active until I die. If I write a will, it is not active. I can change at any time. So Paul is bringing the same thing here, and he says that the testator has to die. Now, the testator, the mediator, gave his life for that single purpose. Single purpose. Now you have the sure foundation. Now you have the sure foundation. Again, he again made it so strong, not only by giving his life, but he resurrected. He resurrected. Now you are assured of that foundation because he is the only one who is resurrected. No other person in this world is resurrected. You don't hear about that at all. Now, we have in the Bible a lot of evidences that he was resurrected. Now, the empty tomb is one, but there are many other witnesses, living witnesses that. And when you believe on his resurrection, he is 100% a sure foundation for your life. You have set the life on the sure foundation. So that if whoever said amen, let it be amen unto you. Amen. Amen. So then the second one is the tested one. He was tested. He was tested in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was tested. He was 100% man. He was 100% God. His humanity was exposed in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he became victorious. He said, "Lord, your will be done. Your will be done." In that case, that he had to give his life. It is not a matter for me, but your will be done. Now, it's very easy for us to hear, but when we as a human being, we are assured of a heaven. But now if we are put in the same test that Jesus had gone, what will be our response? That's a question before you. Now, before you and me. Now, Then he was put in test in Calvary. In Calvary, he was assured by Pilate that I will leave you. I will leave you. But he did not accept it. He did not accept it. He won the test. He became successful in that test. Hebrews 7:26 says, for it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. Above the heavens. So we need such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. Only such a high priest, only such a sure foundation can make you offer a living sacrifice. We cannot make a living sacrifice. We can make a living. If you want to leave some good function today that is happening and come for this meeting, you need this. You need this. That the sure foundation, unless and until you have the sure foundation, you can never be assured of what you are going to hear when you stand before the throne. So this is about the tested. He was tested. Then precious. He was so precious to the Father, Father God, because it was the same Spirit Himself who came to this. He was reincarnated. He was so precious. Bible says about Jesus in Colossians 1:14-19, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creation. For by Him and were all things created, that in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things that He might have the preeminence. It was pleased the Father that in Him shall have all fullness of God. This was how precious He was. He was so precious that He was above everything. He was above everything. Everything. So you saw what is the foundation. Now we will go to Apostles' doctrine. Apostles, what is Apostles' doctrine? Galatians 2:9 says, in fact, James, Peter, John, who were known as pillars of church. Pillars of church. See, note the word pillars of church. Now you saw the foundation. Now you see the pillars of church. Who were known as pillars of church, recognized the gift of God had given me, and they accepted Barnabas and me as their co-workers. Now you see here, Paul is also considered as a pillar. Pillar. Now, why it is a pillar? Why it is a pillar? The whole building stands on the pillar. The foundation is holding the whole thing. At the same time, from the foundation is the extension as the pillar comes out. So whatever that the apostles say does not contradict with the foundation. The foundation and the pillars join together, and that forms the structure. Now, we see here, the doctrine was actually ransacked. Now, what is the doctrine? The doctrine, it is the faith in God through Jesus Christ the Messiah, and not by works, not by our works. The work shall be by grace alone. You see that the faith, the doctrine is that it is only by faith in God. So normally when if you have faith and if you wait for a particular reason that you wait, don't make up your own, test yourself whether you have your own intentions. If your intentions are not there, and if you have left it for the faith in God, then you will see the confirmation as what? Can you tell me? You leave it to God and you wait for the confirmation. And the confirmation will be as what? As what? It will be a miracle. When you have faith in God, why so? You know, you are not accepting it. That means you don't have faith. It is because you don't have faith. You are looking at me. You are looking at my face. You should listen. The faith says that it shall be a miracle. Only half the people said. Half the people said. For Abraham, it was a miracle. Sarah, it was a miracle. For whoever believes in God, it's a miracle. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Still sound is very, very low. Only from one side. I don't know. That is the basic essence of the doctrine. If you have faith, you will see the miracle.
Amen.
Thank God. So, the fundamental things that, let us all stand up. Let's all sing this. One song is there. He is God. He is God. He is the dead, and He is God. Shall bow every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is God.
He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Please be seated. The doctrine was ransacked by Catholic Church before, since 1500 AD, it was ransacked by the Catholic Church. Please listen, if someone wants to talk, please go outside and talk and come. Please do not talk while we are having the message. All right? Okay. Otherwise, I will have to call and point out those people who are, that's not good. Yeah, all right. So, the Catholic Church had ransacked by taking mediators, you know, mediators. And then at that point of time, there were mediators, and then the mediators between God and God and man, and buying or earning of forgiveness. Buying and earning of forgiveness. All these things were there. Even now, I don't know whether it is there or not. I don't know about that. But it was there before 1500 AD. Now, at that point of time, when the Reformation came, the fundamental doctrine was by Christ, the salvation of man is by Christ alone. Say amen.
Amen.
Grace alone.
Amen.
Faith alone.
Amen.
Scripture alone.
Amen.
Glory alone.
Amen.
The fundamental three things are very fundamental. Christ alone, grace alone, faith alone. Without salvation cannot happen. So we see that the fundamental truth of our faith is Christ alone, grace alone, and faith alone, scripture alone, and the glory alone. We have these four pillars standing: Christ alone, grace alone, faith alone, scripture alone. And the fourth one, I read it from this, not mine. I read it. The fourth one is the glory, which is the roof. It looks too beautiful. It looks too beautiful because the glory, that is the roof, the fifth one. So now Paul charges Timothy, his second in command. Now he wants Timothy to be a pillar. Timothy to be a pillar. I charge thee, therefore, before God, that the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Therefore, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That verse is very important. Preach word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. When you do that, longsuffering is very important, and doctrine is very important. Now, the fourth, he says that there will be a time that the people will not endure doctrine, and you have to shred the doctrine and do make some beautiful stories that itch their ears. So you see there, they make the teachers to their tone and taste, and they have the itching, that they have the itching ear. They turn away from the truth, and he's giving a commandment: beware that you shall turn away from the truth, and you will turn into this fable stories. So now, you want to be a pillar? Yes, okay. You have. We are all having that. We are all having that hope, and God has given Revelation 3:12 says, him that overcome will I make a pillar in the temple of God.
Amen.
I said it is for you, and you said yes, I want to be a pillar. And now say amen.
Amen.
Okay, now this is about the structure we are looking at. Now we are looking at the apostles' doctrine, no, foundation. Then we see the prophecies. What are the prophecies? You know, from Genesis, there are about 55 prophecies directly mentioning about Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. 55 directly mentioning. Right from Genesis chapter 3, there you see a her son. You read that. Her son, there will be enmity between her son, her seed, and God is telling whom? The serpent. The serpent. Her son. Why her son? Why not his son? That's a prophecy about Jesus Christ. That's a direct prophecy about. Like that, there are so many. In Genesis chapter 49:10, there it says, when Jacob blesses you, it's actually a very wonderful thing. Jacob was supposed to bless whom? Joseph. Joseph was a main person now. At that point of time, Jacob is blessing whom? Judas. Judah. Yeah. And it says the sepulcher, I don't know how to pronounce that, I don't know, yeah, will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from his descendants. This is all talking about Judah, until the coming of the one to whom it belongs. To whom it belongs. See the prophecy? To whom it belongs. What is it that belonging? The kingdom. The kingdom. The kingdom. It belongs. And to whom all nations all will honor. So that is then in Isaiah chapter, I'm not reading the whole thing, that a virgin shall conceive a child. That is in Isaiah 7:14. And in 9:6, a child is born to us and a son is given to us. Government will rest upon his shoulders. Government will rest upon his shoulders. The reign will be upon him. He will be called as Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Who is this? It is Jesus Christ. He says that a child will be born, and he is the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Everlasting Father. So I am not reading the whole thing. I would like to take you to Daniel. When Daniel mentioned about this, Daniel 7:13, I saw in the night visions, Daniel is speaking, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days. Who is Ancient of Days? The Father God. Father God. He came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. What a beautiful prophecy. All these prophecies come close when Jesus was born and died. All the prophecies stopped, finished. Everything came to an end. That is why prophets is mentioned there. That is why we have the cornerstone as Jesus Christ, and then we have the apostles and the prophets. The prophets, all the prophecies came true. Now, what is the whole structure? We will read in Ephesians chapter 2:21, the whole structure being joined together into a holy temple. In him you shall be built together as a dwelling place for God by, that is 21 and 22. I've got a lot of things to mention about that, because it says how this could be done as a whole structure, as mentioned in 21. 1 Peter 2:5 says, you yourself, like living stones, are being built as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. So you yourself, like a living stone are being built into it. Now your position is coming. Pillar is an extension that if you like, if you wish to have, you stand in the doctrine and then you become the pillar. But if we all should be the living stone, the living stone should be built as a spiritual house, which could offer spiritual sacrifices. Only spiritual sacrifices will be acceptable to God. So the offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Whatever we are doing, even what I am speaking, everything, if it is anything is for my glory, it is a waste. It's a waste. Please do not come and say that the message was good. Not to anyone, because that will spoil them, because we are all in this flesh. We should be rewarded by God alone. By God alone. So the whole structure, the living, we need to be a living stone. What is a living stone? I want to go back to Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah chapter 51, 1. Listen to me, all who hope for deliverance, all who seek the Lord. Consider the rock from which you were cut, the quarry from which you were mined. It's Isaiah says, who all want to seek the Lord, consider the rock from which you were cut. You were cut and brought. There was a rock. That rock was wild. There was nothing to say. That was a wild rock. Now from there you were cut and brought over here. So when you cut the stone, cut the rock and make it into stone, you look at that particular situation. And Ephesians chapter 2:1-3, it says that many things are mentioned over there. Many things. I am just saying only the last third verse. Among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind. We were by nature the children of wrath. You see that you are dead. And in the second verse, you were walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, according to the spirit of the now working in children of disobedience. So you see that three things there. You are walking in your own ways, your own course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and you were a disobedient child. Now from there, God says, that is the rock that you were. That is the rock. You were dead. You were dead in trespasses. So you were a dead rock. And from that dead rock, you had been taken out. You had been taken, cut, and brought out. Now, you see that your conversation, you know, how many of us, I'm not saying by any person, but how many of you use bad words in your house? Bad words in your house. I want to think. Bad words with your spouse. The child is learning this at a very young age, and the child goes to the school. He uses the same word in the school. And in the school, they start speaking. The one child who doesn't know anything comes and stands there and he's astonished. What is this other tongue? Talking some words which I never heard. The child who's from a spiritual background. And then this child also knows that, okay, to get an impression from others, I have to use these words. And he is also learning. From where did it start? It started from your house. Now you are a curse to this society. Beware of your words. Beware of your words. Do not use bad words between husbands and wives. Children are hearing. You are making another generation, cursed generation. Please don't. Please don't. I know that there will be differences. Do not use bad words. Before the sunset, settle your things. Settle your things with your spouse. It is not a big word to say sorry. But it is a very difficult word to say sorry. Only in Christ you can say that. So according to the course of the world, according to the prince of power, and then you know that you were the children of disobedience. Then next is we are looking at the stones. Now the stones we have First Kings chapter 6 verses 7. Can you read? Yeah. First Kings. Please, someone. Can it be projected, sister? So there you see that and the house. Oh, it is very much there. Thank you. It is. It says that it was made of stone, made ready before it was brought to the house. To the house of the Lord, before it was brought to the house of the Lord, it was made into shape. From where? From the quarry, from the rock where it was cut. There itself, the quarry stands for this earth. Here itself, we have to cut, we have to shape it. And now, then when it was brought to the temple, there was no sound of hammer, axe, or any tool of iron heard in the house. There was nothing. No tool was hammer. You hear when a husband shouts to a wife as a hammer. And then axe. You throw axe at others. Husband throws axe at wife. Wife throws axe at. If she cannot beat her, she will give good. What? Yeah. So you understood. So this is what. Now all this should be cut and chiseled and made it straight before it is brought to the work of the Lord. You need to do that. Unless, you know, it's a very difficult word, I said, to say sorry. It's a very difficult word. But you don't know the value of that sorry in a particular situation. It's a very, very big, it is a very big value. All right. So, Romans 12. Now, how did God is doing this? Isaiah chapter 49:16 says, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand." Jesus said, "I have to say sorry. I have been stubborn to the world. I said I will not give away." Because of that stubbornness, now we don't need to. We need to just rely upon Jesus. Now He has engraven. When the nail was pierced, you were engraven there. You were engraven. So that is what it says. And then Romans 12, 1 say, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. What is this mercies of God? What is the mercies of God? I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. What is this mercies of God? You were a wild rock. Your ways were like this. Look into your old pit where you were. There, God brought you. Now, mercy, your body is a living sacrifice. Look at that. Present your bodies to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Do not be conformed, fashioned to this world. I'm not going there. Do not be fashioned. The world is coming into us. The world is coming into us. Our children show that they are worldly by either their haircut or dressing or whatever. Why do you want to identify with the world? Give value in the house so that they will also claim that value when they grow up. Okay. Then we will look at again. This is all built together for a dwelling place of God. For what? All this foundation, pillars, stones, everything is built together for what? For God to come and dwell in you. God to come and dwell in you. What a beautiful, that Ephesians 2:22. Yeah, that verse is so beautiful that you have Trinity in that verse. Trinity, God has been working in Trinity, in Him. Word starts with in Him. What is in Him? In whom? In Jesus Christ. Many people are not listening. I ask a question. Many people read this simple answer. Yeah. So in Him, who is in Him? Jesus Christ. And then we are all built together as a dwelling place for God. We are all built together. That means we are all built together for a dwelling place of God. For whom to dwell? For whom to dwell? Jesus. Yeah, for God to dwell. God the Father. So in Him, in Jesus Christ, you see Father God. How? How? Last, it's mentioned. It is through the Spirit. So dwelling place of God. How? By the Spirit. So you have Trinity there. In Him, Jesus Christ, for the dwelling place of God is the Father by the Spirit. So this is how God is making a beautiful building. Beautiful. You are changed into a beautiful building. What is the Spirit doing? The Spirit, you know, you see everything. You see the pillars, you see foundation, you see the concession and everything we saw. Now, where is Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the one which is used as cement. I'm saying in the present, this thing, it is cement. But in the old, this thing, CaCO2. What is CaCO2? Calcium carbonate. I am not a science student. I just learned when I was in 8th standard. So CaCO2. So it was used as cement. Now this cement goes into everywhere. In foundation, amidst the stones, in the pillars, everywhere you have. So that is beautiful. That God, the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. You have received the Spirit of adoption. That means the Holy Spirit is adopting you to that you may call God Abba the Father. You were not having that right. Now He is giving you the right to call Abba the Father. And Spirit Himself witnessed that we are the children of God. That is 16. And 17, He makes us heirs, co-heirs with Jesus Christ. We are the heirs. So we are, you know, what all things God is doing? The Holy Spirit is doing many things over there. He finally, if we are children, we are heirs of God, co-heirs. Now, in 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own." 20th verse says, "You are bought with a price." If you are sure that you are bought with a price, can you raise your hand and say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Whose is this now? It is of God, because God has purchased it for a price. For a price. Now, you saw this building, right? You saw this building. Are you imagining it? A foundation is Jesus Christ. And then you have the pillars. You have everything. Now you are seeing this beautiful structure. You want to see that building? Do you want to see that building? Very few people said yes. No, then I am not showing you that. Do you want to see it?
Yes.
Okay. Revelation chapter 2, 21. Revelation 21:2 says, "And I saw," John says, "the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Third verse, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them. And he shall be their God." This is the beauty of the building. The beauty of the building is coming down, the glorious moment as coming down for the bridegroom. And then in the fifth verse, "And he sat upon the throne and said, Behold, I make things new." I said, it is a miracle. I make all things new. "And he said unto me, Write these words, for these words are true and faithful." True and faithful. True and faithful. And seventh verse says, "He that overcome shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son."
Amen.
All right. Then he says, "I am the Alpha and Omega." Let's all stand up. You are Alpha and Omega.
We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised.
Again.
You are Alpha and Omega.
We
worship you, our Lord. You are
from the law.
He is Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess.
That Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. Amen.
He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow.
Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. 1 Peter 2:6 says, therefore it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Can I hear amen to that?
Amen.
If Jesus Christ is really your cornerstone, if he is the pillar, it says that you will not be put to shame in the mighty name of Jesus. But can you confidently say you have made him your cornerstone? Can you confirm that you have been firmly tested? Can you say that he's precious to you? Brethren, you have to submit to him. He is the cornerstone. He has been chosen. Even though he has been rejected. That's why 1 Peter 2:4 says, coming to him, as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Make him a precious stone in your life. And I pray the foundation that today's message have laid in your heart, the Lord himself shall continue to build upon it in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Everlasting Father, King of Kings, the righteous cornerstone, we thank you, we bless your name, we glorify you, Lord, for today's message. We thank you, Lord, that make us to realize that, yes, you are the cornerstone of our life. You are the foundation. You are the pillar that have been tested. Father, we thank you for the message that we have heard today. We bless your holy name, we glorify you, Lord. Father, we have heard this message. Let it be firmly rooted in our heart in the mighty name of Jesus. Whatever we make you to voice to us, you never know us. Father, because of your mercy, have mercy upon us and remove it in our entire life in the mighty name of Jesus. Let us continue to build our houses on that stone, on that right rock in the mighty name of Jesus. The rock which is of Jesus Christ, the rock which is the cornerstone that you have chosen. Father, continue to help us to build upon it in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we pray as we go this week, let your presence go ahead of us in the mighty name of Jesus. We want to pray that when next week we meet, we shall meet with testimony in the mighty name of Jesus. Remember your servant you have used for all this day, more anointing in Jesus' name. The depth of wisdom that you have given unto him shall never dry up in Jesus' name. As we that we have listened to him, Lord, the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to interpret it more in our heart. Father, continue to lay the foundation in our heart in the mighty name of Jesus. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. Lord, for the rest of the week, our program is in your hand. Take control and take glory in Jesus' name. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed. Before we share the grace, please, that is the fasting and prayer that was announced. It was said tomorrow. It's not tomorrow. It's next week. Please have it in mind. Let's joyfully share the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. And surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you, and do have a wonderful week ahead.